Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Hebrews 12, let me get some glasses on here, I can see this page. And verses number 1 and 2, if you found that, shout amen for me. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, I love you. I thank you for this night and time, the sweet songs of Zion tonight, Lord. I'm glad there's honey in the rock. God, I've been to the well many times. I've feasted on the manna that you've sent my way. I praise you for the night and these that have come out. Now fill my mouth, guard my tongue. Help me preach, God, inside the bounds of the writ. Touch the hearts of you people I've come to. Encourage them tonight, God, with your word. I ask it in Jesus' name, my King, I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to just a simple little thought this evening is running the race. Running the race. It's something we're familiar with, that as we run this race. Paul used this metaphor often, or this line. He talked about, you did run well for a while. What hinders you now? And he said, every mind running the race, we're running to win all. It's not a competition, by the way. This race isn't a competition. It isn't so the Baptists can outrun the Church of God, or the Pentecostals are going to beat the Methodists. That's not what it is. It is a race that we're all, as Christians, we are running the same race. Are you with me? We're not trying to pass each other up. We're not trying to leave each other behind. We are to bear one another's burdens. We're to lift up the feeble hands. When we're running along and somebody's down and out and have got a flat tire, stop and help them change it. We're not here. We're not here to say, oh, we're doing better than they're doing. Listen, where two or three are gathered, praise God, he's in the midst. It's not about the numbers on the board. That's why we don't keep one anymore. It's about doing what you can for the kingdom while you're in the race. Everyone in this room, if you're here and you're saved, if you're unsaved, you're not in the race, you're on the road to hell. That's a sad place to be, on the road to hell. But if you're here and you're saved tonight, you are running a race. Now the witnesses that he's talking about here isn't so they're watching us run the race from heaven. It's that we watch them from the pages prior to this. They've already run the race. They're witnessing to us. They're the witnesses to us. They're saying, here's how you get it done. If you want to close the book of Hebrews out, faith is chapter 11, hope is chapter 12, and love is chapter 13. Faith, hope, and love. Hey, when we have this, we see this. I think Paul wrote this book. Let me read you something. He said, for ye had compassion on me in my bonds. Who do we know wrote letters from the prison? Why would Paul not have signed his name to the Hebrews? Because the Hebrews didn't like Paul. They didn't want to hear what Paul had to say. I think that's why it's anonymous. But we see this for sure, that if Paul isn't the writer, and it's, I agree that it's written to the Hebrews, it's a letter to the Hebrews, but it's applicable to us here today as Christians in 2024, that we are all running this race. There are things in this race. There's three things I want to touch on here in this tonight. First, I want us to consider this. I want us to consider the track that we're running on. The track is this, that you begin this race on the day you are born again. The day you're born again, he puts you on the track. Listen, he didn't to run this race. He didn't save you to set you down to wait for him to get here. He saved you for a plan, as she sung about, and a purpose. He's got something for you to do. Hey, get busy. Let's get her done. He's got something. There's a plan. Now, I believe, according to Scripture, that there'll be babies in Christ walk right across the finish line with us. That's but look here. We should desire the sincere miracle of the word, that you may grow by there. But he said, when you should have been eating meat, you need milk again. What does that mean? That means they're babies. I'm thinking we got an epidemic of spiritual infancy inside the churches of America today. People don't know what the Bible said. That's why they're so confused. Brother Tony, they don't know what the Bible said. They think there's a place you just nearly get to. That's not accurate. But we're in this race. When he saved you and me, he put us on a track. Now, there's one destination. The finish line's in glory. That's where it's at. Hey. And he's put you here to run this race. And I tell you, he's the sponsor of this thing. We ought to be Jesus on our chest and our back, that we're running the race for the cause of Christ, and that alone. We're not running it to see how many accolades we might gain in this world, how many people we might, people know our names or anything about. It's not about us, it's about him. So he said, he puts us on the track. I'm thinking of this afternoon. Well, what does that mean? Well, look here. We're all on the same track. And we don't know what he's going to let come up in our lane when we're running. I read this one preacher said this, said he had a coach in high school that was determined to make an athlete out of him. He said, I was the least athletic guy in the school. But he was determined I was going to be an athlete. So he put me on the track and gave me hurdles to jump. He said, I knocked down every hurdle, fell, sprained my ankle, nearly broke my leg. The guy said, I can see you're not an athlete. That's not the case with the Christian. When God saves you and puts you on the track, he knows what's going to be in your lane. He's already there before you get to it. There's going to be some things you're going to have to jump over. Some things you may have to go around. There's going to be some things in your track that's not in my track. But we're on the same track. We're going the same way. We're headed to heaven. And he puts you on the track. He saved you. Now some stall out, some weigh down. Some struggle, some stumble. Have different issues. But I want, if I can make anything clear tonight, that every born again child of God on the face of this earth is running on the same track. And just when you don't think you can go anymore, you look back in that old covenant and you see the ones who had different difficulties and the ones who had trouble, and you see what they done. When they was faced with the fire, they just walked right in there, or they got cast in there actually. Hey, listen, when they had things that they didn't think they could overcome, praise God, the Lord showed up and they overcome it. When the giant stepped out in the valley, praise God, he took it down. That's where we get our encouragement. That's where we get our edification. We look back at the old covenant and it says, you're going through. Just when it gets dark, there's a lighthouse on the way. There's the track. We're all on it. If you're born again, there's the track. Then there's this. There's not only the track, but then there's the time. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, see, sometimes we weight ourselves down with things. It's pretty plain right there. Lay aside every weight. Now the weight isn't it. Look here, Brother Wade, and I was talking about this before church. and he hit on something I was already planning on interjecting right here, is this, that, look here, not every weight's bad. Now, the sin's bad, but not every weight's bad. There's things that's good that keep us from completing the time that we ought to be completing that'll weight us down. And I could give you a long list of things that do that. And I'm telling you, one of the first things that come to my mind is family. Family will weight you down. I don't know why God's put this on me tonight, but family will weight you down, keep you, try to slow you down. Your time's not going to be what it ought to be if you're weighted down by family on the track. Y'all, you're on the track. You're going the right direction. Your destination's heaven. But then the weight, and you see things passing you by, you think, why can't I make that kind of time? You can't make that kind of time because you're weighted down. Had a guy tell me one time concerning someone over in Old Sanctuary. He said, did you hear that guy testify the other night? I said, I sure did. Wasn't that a blessing? He said, blessing? He convicted the time out of me. I said, why's that? He ain't been saved 6 months. He said, he already knew more than I know. I've been saved 20 years. I said, that's your fault. You know what it was? That guy come blowing by him. Boom. And he knew it. His time on the track wasn't very good. I don't think it was up to par where God wanted it to be. Oh, don't get me wrong. I don't have a halo on up here. I've had times I've slowed down on the track. I'll be honest. There've been times I didn't even want to come to church. Say, oh, you're the preacher. You got to come to church. That's why I come. I had to. When about 42 dozen, that's what my daddy used to say. I don't know how many that is. Some mathematician figured that out for me. It just meant a lot. When about 42 dozen things have raised up and you just don't deal none of them, you know what you like to do? Stay at the house. You know what God said? You're on the track. Keep on going. No time to sit down. Don't let that stuff weigh you down. You're on the track. But then there's the sin. Weights are one thing, sin's something else. Sin, look here. Let's be generous right here and say some of the weights we can blame on somebody else. They might throw something in your way. We're not supposed to be a stumbling block to a brethren, but they some of them out there. They throw something in your lane, you have to go around, jump over. It just slows your time down. But then the sin, you can't blame on nobody but yourself. The sin belongs to me. It is the sin. Well, what sin would that be? Well, a lot of the old writers think that the greatest sin is the sin of unbelief. I'll go down that road. I'd say maybe that's the greatest sin. Somebody said, well, sin. Well, according to Jesus, them that delivered him unto Pilate had the greater sin. He's the one put the measure on it, wasn't me. Uncle Al used to say this. He'd say, look here, sin, but murder's worse than stealing watermelons. That's mountain wisdom right there, I think. I agree with that. How time. The sin will slow your time down. You won't be making the time God wants you to make. Amen. There's things arising in churches across America today that we never dreamed they'd be calling church. And it's tragic. It's what it is. It's tragic. They begin to accept things in the church that this Bible is dogmatically against, and they because they love them, hey, look, because they like them, or because it don't seem that bad, they begin to let this stuff come in. I'm telling you what, friend, it's a block in the track. Amen. It's a taking the time away from them trying to run the race. It's not the perfect will of God. And some of that stuff, they're not on the track. Oh, they're running, they're making time, but they're not on the right track. Tony talked about it tonight, Matthew 7:22. He's going to say, I never knew you. You just thought you was on the right track. You're running in the wrong race. I'm going to be short tonight. My voice about shot anyway. Been preaching for 2 weeks. But I'm seeing this today, and it's the weight and the sin, and it easily besets us. We don't think it's going to do it, but I'm telling you. Look here, animosity, anger, all these things slow you down on the track. You can't make the time God wants you to have. It slow you down. I'm neck deep in that book, The Hiding Place, and I'm reading it real slow. And when they come and raided them at the BG and took Corey and Betsy and their daddy, Opa, they took the old grandpa and took them all out, and the Germans come and took them, and when they went into the house, they beat them up pretty good. They smacked Betsy up, and Corey said by the time they got her down to the room where she at, said her the blood was coming out of her mouth and her face was beginning to swell, and said Betsy looked at Corey and said, "I feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for them. They don't know what I know. They don't know the love of Christ. They're lost heathens, and that's how they're acting. I feel sorry for them." My, what a race runner. She weren't no Baptist. She'd have never been back to church. Somebody hurt her feelings. When we see this, and the things that beset us slow us down, we're not getting done what he'd have us do. But then we look into Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, you didn't have no faith till he gave it to you. You understand that? He dealt to every man the measure of faith. Who dealt it? He did. I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life I live now in the flesh, in this body I live by the faith of the Son of God. Whose faith? His faith. He gave me that faith. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's the author, he's the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. And he done some things for us. He endured the cross. And he despised the shame. You understand they stripped him naked before the whole world, don't you? They paint that pretty loincloth on him in these pictures. You see him on the cross. But I'm going to tell you, he hang there naked like a beaten, bruised animal. He was, according to Isaiah, his visage more marred than any man. In other words, he's not going to look human. When they hang him there, he don't look human. I'm talking eyes swollen. There's no doubt his eyes were swollen. And the blood protruding from his head where that crown of thorns is pressed down upon him. You think you won't bleed hard? You just cut yourself on the forehead. See what happens. It's the blood vessels are so close right there. You can't hardly stop it from bleeding. Hey, that's pressed down on his head. It's bleeding profusely. The blood's running down. It's in his eyes. Look here. I said this the other night somewhere preaching. It might have been here. But when he did see through that eye, he's looking to the blood. He's looking through the blood. He's still looking through the blood. There he is on Calvary's cross. What's he done? Look here. He's already been down the track. And his time was perfect. But here's the thing. He's hanging on the cross. He hangs on the cross. He does it all for us. He despised the shame. I'm sorry I'm hanging here naked. I've took on the sin of the world. Can you imagine becoming sin for all the sin of the world? But I'll tell you, he didn't stay on the cross. Didn't stay on the cross, didn't stay in the tomb. Didn't stay on the earth. How about that? 40 days later, standing on Olivet, he looks at them, praise God, and them angels are there. They say, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus you see taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you've seen him gone up." That same Jesus, he's not on the earth anymore. Well, there's a little piece of him on the earth. He's in my heart. But there he is in glory. Now, I think God gave me a thought on a word this afternoon. When I looked it up, I thought how appropriate. I can't think this up on my own. God just gives it to me when I pray about it. And so we would all agree, those of us who have been born again, saved by the grace of God, redeemed, praise the Lord, headed to glory on the right track. And our time on the track, sometimes people's time's longer on the track than others. Some's got short time on the track. I mean, you're on the same track, but your time's not near as long as other people. I heard a thing today, a statistic. I listened to a guy preach early this morning. He said this. I'd got my outline done. And I flipped over to listen to a little bit of preaching. This guy said this. He said, if you live 40 to be 40 years old, statistically, your chances is way up to make 80 in America today. Unless you live in New York or LA or somewhere, but statistically, said there's not a lot of people. A lot of people die before 40, though. A lot of people die before 40. So the time on the track, it's not the same for all of us, and you know that. I've buried babies. I've buried middle-aged people. I've buried old people. One of these days, it'll be my turn to box. Somebody will bury me. But here's the thing. I'm voting for the rapture of the church, but my vote don't count. It's not my vote that makes it happen. It's God's time. I don't know how long he'll leave me on the track. I don't know how long he'll leave you on the track. And if you're not on the track, I would to God you'd get on the track tonight, be born again. God put you on the right track. You don't look here. Hell's forever. But here's what I thought, well, the track and the time, but here's what it is. It doesn't matter how long or how short my time is on this, Paul. Here's what it is. You know how it ends? In triumph. It ends in triumph. And the word triumph, defined, it means a great victory. Well, I like that. But it's got more than one definition. And when you get down to the bottom, and they give you, said, would you like another definition? I said, yeah, give me another. I'm talking to Siri, that girl on my phone. Define triumph. And she starts spitting it out. And she, would you like to hear another one? I said, yes. Gets down to the last one, Dennis. Here's what it said. Oh, God help me right here. It said, triumph is like a Roman soldier marching through the gate after a great victory. Here's what I thought. Praise God, down here, we're limping. Listen, we got hurt parts, fading parts, dimming parts, troubled parts. We got diabetes. We got high blood pressure. We got heart disease. We got all these things wrong with us. But bless God, when we go walking through the gate, there's not a problem. There's not a sore back. There's not a loser in the crowd. Everything, praise God, it's triumph. Where you get that idea from? That cloud of witnesses that I've been looking at. Joseph's family hated him. He wound up saving them a whole herd. Isn't that just like God? Just when you think he can't do it, and you can't, and he can. I'm going to tell you, child of God, you trust the Lord. You trust the Lord. And I can guarantee you by this holy writ right here that your track's going to end in triumph. You're going through the gate. You ain't going through there crippled. You ain't going to bring none of your problems with you. And all the weights and the sins that has beset us on this track are all outside the gate. And it's oh happy day. They won't be an unbeliever, a scoffer. Listen, they won't be a biting dog. Isn't that good? They won't be nothing. I'm telling you, it's all good when you get there. It's not all good here. There's tough times on the track. There's times of separation and times of just trouble. Man born of a woman's a few days and full of trouble, Job said. He nailed it. He knew a little bit about that. And that's right. But we got something, child of God, the world don't have. The triumphal entry. Isn't that going to be a day? That's going to be a day, friend. If I was here and I was unsaved tonight, I'm telling you, I would not walk out them doors till I knew that Jesus is my Savior. I'd quit putting it off and I'd come and I'd call on his name. I'd say, Lord, it's all God know. You're a sinner and he's the Savior. And believe it, he'll save you and call on him and he'll do it according to Scripture. He'll do it. But you got to know you're lost. You got to get lost before you can be saved. Let's stand to our feet, bow our heads all over the sanctuary if we're in the place, something soft on the piano. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.